Good morning, everybody. Pastor Mike here, another Watchman Pure Bible study. We are now into Revelation chapter 3 and dealing with the church at, Church of Sardis here. And in going back over this, there is a very, very interesting phrase here that I want to deal with. I think it's really, really, really important. We're entering into a time right now to where God is dividing things. He's separating things out. He's giving people a choice to make. People need to make a choice. You need to make a choice. I think you already have, but people need to make a choice. And you ask a lot of people, especially a lot of church people, do you believe in Jesus? Why, of course I believe in Jesus. Which one? That is the choice, because there's a counterfeit Jesus. There is an anti-Christ. There is, lo, here is Christ or there, and Jesus said, believe it not. There is another gospel, a counterfeit gospel that people are believing. There is a real Bible. There is a fake Bible. And a lot of people who say they believe in Jesus, I think a choice is going to be made one of these days, and they're going to be looking at the real Jesus and the fake one, and they're going to say, I want the fake one, but they think it's the real one, because they don't know. They don't know who the real Jesus is, the image of Jesus, and how we're going to recognize him is right here in this book. All the clues, all the details. That's why I am so dead set against changing what's in this book. Even one letter, one word, one paragraph, one I'm against changing what's in this Bible, because I really believe that it is the identification of the real Jesus. By the way, this is telling those of us who believe in the real one how to spot the fake one. And this passage here, that just kind of what jumped out of my mind. We're going to deal with the thief, okay? And I want you to understand this, how the Bible lays it out. I'm going to try to lay out line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. I'm going to try to lay that out for you so that we understand the difference between Jesus and the thief. And there is a difference. And I want you to think about the terms here. Anyway, Revelation chapter 3, verse 1. And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God, seven being the number of perfection and completion, and the spirits of God that gives us perfection and completion, gives us understanding through the perfect word of God. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. So the Bible and the real Spirit of God will always work hand in hand. If you look at the opposite of that, the fake Word of God will always work with a fake and phony spirit. And it's a masquerading spirit. And this is what really troubles me in the day that we live in, is that there are so many people out there that, unless God intervenes in their life like he did mine, they're going to fall, literally fall, for the fake Jesus, being led by a fake spirit, being followed after and guided by a fake Bible. So the seven spirits of God and the seven stars, which is the angels of the churches, and he said, I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. And I want you to just stop and think about the seriousness of that statement, where apparently amongst the people and amongst their peers and amongst everybody else, they said, oh, that church is really alive. But the one it mattered to, Jesus, was looking at him and going, no, you're not. No, you're not. People pick churches based upon worship services, based upon excitement. That's why they pick churches. They go and they see the excitement in one church, or they see the music, that the hip hop and the repetitive music and the guitars and the light shows and people standing with their hands in the air, waving their heads back and forth. Oh, I'm praising Jesus. And they look at that and go, oh, wow, man, that's an alive church. Okay, they're really moving, man. The true test of whether someone is alive or dead is whether they're standing. And I don't mean just standing in a worship service, and I mean still standing, okay? Still operating, still functioning. And you can get a lot of activity out of a chicken with its head cut off, okay, for a while. But then it'll fall, just like everything dead falls. And so I can clearly see churches of today that everybody says, oh, I go to this church, man, we're alive. Okay, we're alive. We're booking for Jesus. Okay? But the truth of it is, Jesus, the one who it matters to, is telling them they're dead. You're dead. You have no life in you. You have no life because you have no word in you. And so Jesus is really, really correcting them over this. And he says, be watchful. In verse 2, be watchful and strengthen the things which remain. You've got some things left here. Strengthen those that are ready to die. And Jesus has sent a warning here. He said, you have a name that you're alive. That's what everybody who sees you on the outside thinks of you. But I know you, and I know you're dead. And so you have just a little bit of good things left in you. Pay attention to those and strengthen those before it's too late, because they are ready to die. He says, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. I mean, he is just not happy with this particular church. And so he says, remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. And that is an absolutely wonderful passage in the Bible, that of the word remember. Remember this. Remember the former things. Remember this. This do in remembrance of me. Peter wrote and he said, I'm going to stir up your remembrance. I want you to put this back in your mind and remember. I want you to remember how it used to be and what you used to believe back when you first got saved, back when the gospel and the doctrines were pure and they were simple to you. He says, remember those things and hold them fast and repent of going off the deep end like you've done. Now he says, and I want to get into this, if therefore thou shalt not watch, if, okay, there's always an if and a then in a lot of places in the Bible. Not in every place, but in a lot of places. If and then. This goes back to my ancient 1980s computer programming days when I could write computer programs in BASIC. That was a computer language. Nobody uses it anymore. But anyway, it was algebraic is what it was. And you would start out saying, if such and such equals this, then you're going to do something else. And that was telling the computer, you know, if someone punches in the letter A, then the computer is going to do this with it. Okay, if and then. And you see that here. He says, if therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on in thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Now, if you know other verses in the Bible, that ought to shiver your timbers, is what that ought to do. That ought to scare you. And Jesus is sending a very strong and stern warning, and he says, you're almost totally dead. You've got a few things of life left in you, and I want you to strengthen those and hold them fast, and I want you to repent. But if you don't repent, I'm going to come upon you as a thief, and you're not going to know it. You are not going to know it. You're very, very close, Sardis. You're very close. And I'm trying to reach out to save you before it's too late. And so this idea, everybody says, oh yeah, Jesus is a thief. No, he's not. No, he's not. And I'm going to try to help you understand this expression. I will come on thee as a thief. Okay. In fact, I want to do this. I've got it later on in my notes, but I want to do this right now. I want you to understand that. Here's my premise. My premise is Jesus is not a thief. Okay. There's a commandment that says thou shalt not steal. And Jesus does not break the law. He did not break the law. He's not going to break the law now. He's not going to do it in the future. I remember back in the 90s, there was a website I used to go to every now and then to, you know, because it was one of these prophecy websites. And I think it was called Yeshua the King. This goes back way years ago, and I don't think it's even in existence anymore. But they used to write a lot of stuff about old Jewish traditions used to do this and used to do that. And they would tell that, that, you know, really the way to understand the rapture, the translation, is by way of Jewish tradition. Jewish tradition had a way of where they would sequester the bride and hide her away. And then in the middle of the night, the bridegroom would come in and he would go into her room and he would literally take her out of that house and steal her away and take her home. And that's it right there, because Jesus is a thief. He's going to steal the church away. That is so not true. It stinks of being false. Number one, Jesus is not a thief. Number two, he's not coming to steal anything. There is one that's coming to steal something. Number three, he's not going to steal away the church in the rapture. He doesn't have to. He's already bought and paid for us with his own blood. Just like Hosea paid the price for Gomer. Even after she became his wife, he went to the slave markets. There she was. He paid the price for her and redeemed her. He doesn't have to steal the church. We're not going to be stolen away. So be careful about the language that people are using. And I want to get to this. I want to show you this. He says in verse 3, I will come on thee as a thief. Now, I'm going to take you to the book of, let me put my place here. Hosea chapter 13. Turn there very, very quickly. Hosea chapter 13. Okay. This is one of those things there where God says, I will be unto you as. Okay. And I want you to understand this. And I hope I'll be able to make my point clearly today so that you understand. God is angry with Ephraim in Hosea chapter 13. And he's about ready to lay him out. He says in verse 4, yet I am the Lord thy God from the land of Egypt, and thou shalt know no God but me, for there is no Savior beside me. Amen to that. I did know thee in the wilderness and in the land of great drought. According to their pasture, so were they filled. They were filled, and their heart was exalted. Therefore have they forgotten me. Okay? Now, this is in direct contrast to what Jesus told the church at Sardis. He said, you remember. You remember me. You remember what you were taught. You remember everything that you memorize those old King James Bible verses, because you're going to see them again. I promise you, you're going to see them. And here, Ephraim didn't remember. They didn't remember the words that were spoken to them. They didn't remember what God had done. They forgot it. And so look at verse 7. Therefore, I will be unto them, and look how he's going to appear to them. I will be unto them as a lion, as a leopard, by the way, will I observe them. I will meet them as a bear that is bereaved of her whelps, and will rend the call of their heart, and there will I devour them like a lion. The wild beast shall tear them. Four things. The lion, the leopard, and the bear, and the wild beast, that is almost word for word the exact description of the beast given to us in Revelation chapter 13, a lion, a leopard, a bear, that wild beast shall tear them. That's what a dragon is. And that's, God says, if you forget who I really am, I will be unto you as these things. In other words, the lion, the leopard, the bear, and the dragon are all going to come upon you. This terrible beast is going to come upon you, and you're going to say, that's Jehovah. That's God. Or as some of these people say, Yahweh. I don't like that word. That's not in this Bible. Okay? And so anyway, that's what God is saying. You're going to end up worshiping the wrong God. You're going to think it's me, but it's not. Because God says in 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 11, I'm going to send you strong delusion that you should believe a lie. You're going to think you're worshiping me, but you're not. You're going to think you're worshiping the real Jesus, but you're worshiping what Paul warned you about, which is another Jesus. And so here Jesus says, if you forget me, if you forget what I've said, if you take this old archaic Bible that nobody ever likes anymore, nobody can read it, if you take this thing and put this away somewhere and forget about it, Jesus says, I'm going to come as a thief, or my coming will be as a thief, he says in another place. And so here's what I'm trying to express to you. When Jesus says that, it's sort of like what he says here in Hosea. God, our Heavenly Father, is not really a lion, a leopard, a bear, and a terrible. But he's not really those things. But he will be unto them as that. In other words, they are going to be worshiping the beast, thinking that it's God. They're going to be worshiping the false Jesus who is a thief. And I'm going to show you the verses. The false Jesus who is a thief, as opposed to the real Jesus who pays for all his stuff. Okay? Let's look at the verses. And I love to do this, and you've probably picked up on this by now. Just take that word thief. Study it all through the Bible. You'll get it. You'll understand. Okay? Deuteronomy 24:7. Here's what the Bible says about a thief. If a man be found stealing any of his brethren of the children of Israel. Okay? We're not talking about stealing his apples. We're not talking about taking the screwdriver out of his garage. If a man be found stealing any of his brethren of the children of Israel and maketh merchandise of him. Wow. Did you get that? The merchandise of souls in Revelation chapter 18, the souls of men, the false prophets of the last days, 1 Peter chapter 2, or excuse me, 2 Peter chapter 2, one of the two, where he was talking about they through feigned words, they shall make merchandise of you, false prophets. If they make merchandise of him and selleth him, then that thief shall die, and thou shalt put evil away from among you. Look at what the Bible's saying here. He's saying that there is a thief who's going to come steal away, okay, and make merchandise and sell you. That's a thief. Thou shalt put evil away from that thief is supposed to die, and you're supposed to put away evil from the land of Israel by doing that. Guess who that thief is? It's not Jesus. It's the other Jesus. Job 24:13. They are of those that rebel against the light. Here's the light right here. Remember, it's all about remembering and forgetting. Here's the light, this Bible right here. Okay? And there are people who are rebelling. And I'm not talking about people who read the King James and who'll study the King James and every now and then to say, you know, I need some help here, and they look to another Bible, which I don't really recommend, but you know, if that's you, then okay. Okay? We're not talking about them. We're talking about the people who say, that King James Bible is stupid. Why would anybody read that? I don't like that Bible. I get these new Bibles because I can understand them better. They have rebelled against the light. And he says, they are of those that rebel against the light. They know not the ways thereof, nor abide in the paths thereof. And I know I must have had another verse around here somewhere. Let me turn to Job. I probably didn't copy and paste this the right way. So I'm going to go get my bearings here. Job 24. I must have missed a verse because this doesn't even make sense. Sounds good, but it doesn't make sense. Let's see here. I know there's got to be a thief around here somewhere that stole my verse out of my notes here. 24:13, there are those that rebel against the light. They know not the ways thereof, nor abide in the paths thereof. The murderer, rising with the light, killeth the poor and needy, and in the night is as a thief. That's what it was. It was the next verse. So he says, number one, they rebel against the light. They know not God's ways, and they don't abide in God's paths. And then he says in 14, the murderer, rising with the light, killeth the poor and needy, and in the night is as a thief. So the Bible is correctly identifying who exactly this thief is. Everybody's going to think that Jesus, the real Jesus, is the thief, but he's not. And so he's a murderer, okay? He killeth poor people, and he is a thief in the night. Okay? Get that. Hang on to that. Hosea chapter 7, verse 1. Let's turn back to Hosea. While we're turning there, I know I've said this before, Hosea, Joel, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea. Hosea, the name Hosea, Isaiah, Joshua are names that in Hebrew have to do with salvation. And the name Jesus, which is the Greek form of the word, of the Hebrew name Yeshua or Yahshua, is that same terminology. It means Savior. Hosea chapter 7, And that's just free information I thought I would throw in there. Okay? It doesn't cost you a dime. Hosea chapter 7, verse 1, when I would have healed Israel, then the iniquity of Ephraim was discovered and the wickedness of Samaria, for they commit falsehood, and the thief cometh in, and the troop of robbers. Notice the Bible's connecting these two words together. That's very important because we're going to see it in a little bit. Thief and robbers spoileth without. And they consider not in their hearts that I remember all of their wickedness. Now their own doings have beset them about, and they are before my face. And so the thief here is not associated with, oh, the blessed return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to steal us away into heaven. That's not what it's associated with. It's associated with the people committing falsehood. The thief comes in. The troop of robbers spoileth without. This thief and these troops of robbers, the word spoil here means they've come and they've just taken everything that belonged to you and it's theirs now. And you can't do a thing about it. People that suffer loss in their life, in some cases, is directly a result of their sinfulness and their rebellion against God. And God just allowed the thieves and the robbers to come in and take everything that was theirs. Okay. Anyway, Joel chapter 2, verse 9. This right here. Look at this. Joel chapter 2 is the teaching on Joel's army. Not the super Christians, the new breed that's going to rule and reign for Jesus so he can come back. Joel's army, they've got teeth like a lion and they're a strong nation. And they're like locusts. That's Revelation chapter 9. They're the ones coming up out of the pit. That's who Joel's army is. And notice how Joel describes him. Joel chapter 2, verse 9. They shall run to and fro in the city, and they shall run upon the wall, and they shall climb up upon the houses, and they shall enter in at the windows like a thief. Now, I'm going to read a verse here. In fact, I'm going to go ahead and go to this one right here because it ties right into that. John chapter 10, verse 1. Jesus is teaching that beautiful, beautiful lesson in the Bible about him being the shepherd and that we are the sheep. And notice what Jesus says. And I want you to remember what we just read in Joel chapter 2, verse 9. John 10, 1. Verily, verily. I love that. Truly, truly. Verily, verily. That means the Old Testament is verily and the New Testament is verily. They're both saying the same thing and they're both true. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. That is exactly, and I'm drawing a big line here and drawing a huge arrow to Joel chapter 2, verse 9. It says, they shall enter in at the windows like a thief. They shall climb up upon the houses. And he says here, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. And Jesus said, that's not me. Okay? In other words, not only am I the shepherd, I'm the door. Okay? I'm the door. I'm the, and if anybody wants to come in, they can come in by me, which I love this because Jesus is telling, look, he said, listen, sheep, I've got your back. Okay. I've got your back. I'm watching over you. You're my sheep and I love you and I care about you and I am your shepherd and it is my job to guard and protect you. And I'm here to tell you that since I'm the door, nobody that ain't supposed to be in here is coming in here, not on my watch. And he said, those who will not come in through the doorway, they're going to look for some other way to get in. They're going to climb the wall, or they're going to try to get through the window. And he said, you identify that as a thief and a robber. And he says, you know what, I want to go to this because there's more to this that I think is very, very relevant to our discussion here. In John chapter 10, verily I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some of the way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. That's how you know. That's how you identify him. And he says, he's telling to us, don't forget it. Remember it. Because it's going to be important. And I'm just telling you, I think there's going to be a time when this earth is going to be presented with a choice. And God's people who remembered the words of this old archaic throwaway Bible that everybody hates and everybody rebels against, we remember the words here and we're looking at this one over here and we're going, that's not him. That is not Jesus. Okay? And I don't know what it is about the door and the window and things like that. I'm just saying that it's, I believe at some point we're going to go, that's the real Jesus right there. That is who it is. But then he says, verse 3, to him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. Those sheep, we're going to know his voice. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Okay? And his voice uses these and thous. Okay? I just thought I'd throw that in there. And verse 5, and a stranger will they not follow. Isn't that, doesn't that sound good to you to know that when you're truly born again, Jesus said, you're not, listen, don't worry about it. You're not going to follow them. You're going to hear that voice and go, that's not my master. That is not him. And just stop and think about it. Okay? Stop and think about it. And you know this to be true. Okay? You turn the radio on, Christian radio on, or you go to a website, and there's an article there and you're reading it. It has something to do with Christianity. And they're going to quote a verse, either on the radio or on the TV, or you go to sit at a church and you're not sure what, you know, how this pastor is going to be. You don't know who he is really until he starts reading out of the Bible. You get where I'm going? Because as soon as he starts reading and you don't hear the word hath and thee and thine and putteth, when you don't hear those words, you're going, that ain't the King James Bible. Okay? This Bible is so unique in its language structure. It literally is set apart from all of the other English Bibles there are out there. And we recognize it. We know that that preacher up there is not using a King James. We read the verses in the books or on the websites and we're going, that's not the King James. Listen, sheep, you know what his voice sounds like. And you're not going to follow all of this other stuff. You're not going to follow the thief or the hireling. He says in verse 7, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep, and all that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door by me. If any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Listen to this. The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. That word destroy, that's telling you who that thief is. Abaddon, Apollyon, the destroyer. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. So he's differentiating himself right here from the thief. But I reiterate this. He says to those who forget this, that I will come upon you as a thief. You're going to follow the thief and think that it's me. Matthew 24, verse 43. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. That doesn't sound like anything Jesus does. Therefore, ye be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. So here he's comparing himself with this thief analogy. And he's telling his people, he's not telling them, look, when I come, I'm going to come sneaking in. Okay? And before we go to heaven, I'm going to bust your house up and steal all your stuff. He's not saying that. He's saying, if you, as the good men of the house, if you knew when the thief would come, you'd stay up and you'd be awake. I mean, if I heard that tonight through the rumor mill that somebody was going to come to my house about 1 o'clock in the morning, try to bust in one of our windows and come at my house, I'm waiting for them. I'm not going to go to bed and go, honey, wake me up if you hear the window bust. Okay, call 911. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to be sitting there, real quiet, motionless, waiting for whoever to come in. And when they come in, boy, it stinks to be them, doesn't it? Okay? And that's what he's saying here. He's saying, you watch and you be ready. So when that thief comes, you're awake. You're alert. For in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Luke 12:33. Let me read this. Sell that ye have and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. You see, if Jesus is the thief, he can't go to heaven. He's not the thief. The thief is the Antichrist. And the people of the world of the last days, and I got a couple more verses here, one in Revelation. He says in Revelation, let me just read this. Revelation 16, 15, "Behold, I come as a thief." And he is reiterating this whole concept here as a warning. Not that he himself is a thief. He never says, "Behold, I am a thief." That's not what he says. He says, "I come as a thief." And that is a warning. Just like God was warning through Hosea to Ephraim, "I will be unto you as the beast." Jesus is saying, when I come, and when it's all time for everything to break loose, you're going to think that the thief is me. Okay? And that's a warning to us. Let's see here. Oh, I like this one. John 12, 6. The Bible says, this he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was, we're talking about Judas Iscariot, who Jesus called the son of perdition. Okay? In fact, he calls him that. I don't remember what passage it is. But anyway, Jesus himself called Judas the son of perdition. That's the name of the Antichrist in 2 Thessalonians. And Judas cared not for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein. Okay? In other words, Judas, what his job as a disciple was to hold all the money. And start to think about why. Okay? And by the way, the love of money is what? The root of all evil. This Bible is right. It's dead on. Because Judas ended up selling his own soul for 30 pieces of silver. And he didn't even enjoy that. He threw the money back at the temple guys and went and hung himself. Anyway, Judas, the son of perdition, is a thief. Now, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Let's turn there. First, and when it's really early in the morning, I can't say Thessalonians. I want to say Thessalonians. Okay? And so anyway, but it's not early in the morning right now. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 1. "But of the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall..." And notice right immediately the transition. This is not, "For the Lord shall appear," and he's not saying all the blessing stuff. He's saying, "For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with a child." Notice that he is equating this thief in the night concept with drastic, terrible judgment. "Destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape." Why? Because they forgot, and they were asleep, and they weren't paying attention, and they didn't know when the thief was coming. And by the time he got in, it was too late. If you personally are like this, or you know of somebody that follows this, this I call it the Tim LaHaye paradigm. The Tim LaHaye paradigm says that, "Oh, the rapture is going to take place, and if, by the way, you happen to miss the rapture, don't worry. You've got 7 years to, you know, follow Jesus during that time. It'll be okay. It's no big deal." Tim LaHaye writes this Left Behind series, and he talks all about these people, including one who ends up having the mark of the beast put on him, but God is going to take him to heaven anyway. Good grief. But anyway, this idea that if you see all of God's children floating up in the air and all of a sudden they disappear, don't worry about it. You know, it'll be okay. They'll be saved, okay? Right here says they shall not escape. In the days of Noah, which is exactly what Jesus compared his coming to, When that door was shut, that was it. And I don't have all the answers on this. I don't. But I don't think it's a good idea for us as believers in Jesus Christ and the translation and in the last days for us to tell people, listen, I know you're not going to get saved now because you love whiskey and women and cigarettes and everything like that. But if you come over to my house one day and see a pile of clothes laying there and I'm not around, I was raptured into heaven, I'll be leaving a Bible here for you. Go ahead and get saved then. Well, listen, if I'm chasing women and drinking whiskey and smoking cigarettes, I can tell you that's exactly what I want to hear, man. Okay? Because if you think I'm going to waste my time serving God now for some indeterminate amount of time, I'm not going to do it. I don't think that's a good idea. I think it's a good idea to be a watchman on the wall and blow the trumpet now when we see the sword coming, not after it's already here. I think that's a better idea. They shall not escape. But ye, brethren, ye, not them, ye, are not in darkness that day should overtake you as a thief. You see the contrast here, okay? Oh, my pen almost got away from me. Ye are all children of the light and children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness, okay? Therefore, let us not sleep as do others. Because remember, the thief has come into our house at 1 o'clock in the morning. Or let's say midnight, because that's what he says in Matthew 25. At midnight, the thief is coming, and if you think I'm going to bed and wait for this guy to wake me up by tapping me on the forehead with his .45 caliber pistol, you're crazy. I'm going to meet him. In fact, when I'm sure that he's good and inside, I'm going to hit him with a light and then anything else I've got in my hand. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober, not in contemplative prayer, not slain in the spirit, not drinking from the Holy Ghost and being drunk. Get that one. Let us watch and be sober, for they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. And I cannot express to you enough the strength of the Bible when it tells you that those who are running around acting drunk in the church are in total darkness. That means there's no light. Let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and of love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. And you see the contrast here. Those who are of the day are going to know. Okay, I don't know the day and the hour, neither did Harold Camping, and neither does anybody else that is looking at all these Jewish feast days. And I believe in Jewish feasts, and I see that clearly in the Bible. But everybody's trying to figure out ahead of everybody else. I don't know why. Of trying to figure out when the day of the Lord. They've done calculations, and they've looked at measurements, and they've done calendar things and all this stuff. And I thank God that when God started me in this ministry, I started out heading toward, I want to know the day of the Lord. I want to try to figure it out. And God said, stop. Stop it. And I did. I just kind of sat back and said, God, I will never do that again. I promise you, I will never do that again. People ask me, how close do you think we are? I don't know. Okay, close enough. Close enough to get things right. I don't know the day and the hour. I'm not going to be Harold Camping. I'm not going to be anybody else. What I am going to be is a watchman on the wall. When I see the sword coming, I'm going to blow the trumpet. But I believe that those of us who are in the Word of God and in prayer and covered in the blood and full of the Holy Spirit in our lives, I believe that that day will not overtake us as a thief. I believe we'll know. 2 Peter chapter 3, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are in shall be burned up. Notice that as he says, he is not saying the Lord is a thief, he's going to come steal you away. The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. And I can tell you that the thief is about ready to be released. And let me show you the picture of this in John chapter 18. John chapter 18, and I'm almost done here, but this is very, very important. Okay? I remember when God first showed me this. I mean, I tell you what, I did, man, just the doodads went up and down my back when I saw this. Because I know who the thief is. I know who the robber is. I know who the murderer is. And I know where he is. He's in prison right now. John chapter 18, 40. They cried all again, saying, not this man, but Barabbas. Now, Barabbas was a robber. Okay, in other places, in the other Gospels, it refers to him as a murderer. Okay, so he's a murderer. He's a robber, which is a thief. And he's in prison, and they come and they get him out of prison, and they stand him up there. Okay, let me use a couple of illustrations here. They stand him up there. Okay, this is my cell phone, and this is the little remote that I use to turn the camera on and off. Okay, both of them are sort of rectangular shape. One's bigger than the other. They both have buttons. Okay, but in fact, they're two different things. This is Barabbas. This is Jesus. And Barabbas is a robber and a murderer, and he was being held in prison. And Pilate said, surely they will not pick this nasty guy, and I'll be off the hook. And here's Jesus, the pure, sinless Lamb of God, the Son of God, God in the flesh, the Word of God, the love of God manifest toward men, who loved his people. And he said, pick one. And they said, Barabbas, we want Barabbas. They didn't even think about it. They didn't counsel with one another. They didn't say, you know, let's vote. They all with one consent said, we want the robber. We want the thief. Now, I have not heard this yet. Okay? Maybe you have, and I'm sure you'll probably write me an email. I've not heard yet pastors or ministers coming right out and saying, we're waiting for the thief to come. However, it wouldn't surprise me if that's what we started hearing from some of the big dogs who are leading the charge toward the Antichrist. It wouldn't surprise me. It gives you something else to watch for. Let me go back to Revelation, and I'll close with this. And then I'm going to Kenya. Revelation chapter 3. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. Don't listen, people. Don't let go of this Bible. And don't let somebody come by. Don't let anybody come and with beguiling and subtlety and questions that you don't know how to answer lead you away from this book. Hold fast. Don't let go of it. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief. Thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. I want to know. Right after I got electrocuted under my house, I had some time with God, and I said, God, that caught me off guard. I didn't like that. And so I've asked God, I begged God, God, when it's really my time, I want to know. I want to know. And I know you do too. This is Pastor Mike. I love you. I love the truth, and I love this Bible, and I hope you do as well. We'll see you the next time. Bye-bye.